Monthly payment calculation assumes 5% down at 7% APR over 30 years.
Are you paying more than $215 a month in rent? Well, if you are, you should know that you may be paying way too much. That's right, because you can actually own your own home for just $215 a month. Don't believe it? Check it out for yourself. Call Hot Props for a free list of hot foreclosure deals. 1-800-913-7685. Like a beautiful 4-bedroom, 2-bath for only $34,000. That's a monthly mortgage of only $215 a month. Plus, Hot Props is offering a home rebate of up to $1,000 in cash. And if you call right now, you can find out how to get up to an extra $2,500 on top of that. So call now for your free foreclosure list. Listen, if you're paying more than $215 a month in rent, you may be getting ripped off. Call Hot Props now to learn how to get your free foreclosure list. 1-800-913-7685. That's 1-800-913-7685. 1-800-913-7685.
Blog Talk Radio.
If I rule the world, every day would be the first day of spring. Every heart would have a new song to sing. And we'd sing of the joy every morning would bring. If I rule the world, every man would be as free as a bird. Every voice would be a voice to be heard. Take my word, we would treasure each day that occurs. My world would be a beautiful place, where we would weave such wonderful dreams. My world would wear a smile on its face, like the man in the moon has. Man would say the world was his friend. There'd be happiness that no man could end. No, my friend, not if I rule the world. Every
I wanted to class it up a little today.
That was very classy.
Did we do a good job?
I think so.
You know, I feel like we have this high-end beer we're drinking down here. This, what kind of American craft is it, Lee?
That would be the Coors of the light variety.
You were supposed to come up with something really expensive and imported.
Fuck.
Not Coors Light.
Okay.
Now I look like a cheap Jaguar.
Well, my beer has been Krausened. I'm different.
Krausened.
Drinking a different
old
one.
Old style?
Yeah. All right. You can give away my beer. I gave away
all right. Well, welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. Today we have on Peter Schnick and... Peter Schnick and Sean Salisbury will be on in the second hour. Peter Schnick, who wrote the film Legion and edited a couple classics I need to ask about, and Sean Salisbury, who was an NFL quarterback for many a year and with ESPN for 12 years, and now he has filmed his own pilot, and we're going to get into that. My name is Matthew Aaron, of course. The only reason I have to tell you that is because my producer, Caesar, makes me. Lee Capreas to my left.
Hey.
And Katie Rose Cronin is back with us.
Hello.
I like, Katie Rose, how you sent me a picture of the church last week just so I didn't think you were out watching The Office.
Oh, when I couldn't make it?
Yeah. I thought for sure she was sitting at home with her legs up and a Coors Light in her hand watching The Office.
No, absolutely not. I was praising God's word.
How'd that wedding go?
It was great. It was really fun.
We are going to have Lenny Cannata sit in the second hour, and Lenny went to a wedding this weekend I'm interested in hearing about. Lee, how was your weekend?
It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. Is there a reason it was wonderful? Yeah, yeah. Well, I was entertaining a friend, and I got to...
Male or female?
Female friend, but I was being a tour guide for Chicago.
Oh, okay. So you weren't Chuck Salvatore in it?
No, I was not. No. I got to show off my knowledge of the city.
So you weren't chucking it up?
Oh, I want your
cock. You weren't chucking it up.
No, I most certainly was not.
So I have a question for my esteemed co-panel here. Everyone knows producer Caesar, correct?
Caesar.
Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. I posted something on Facebook earlier in the week. My private account. Private, right? It's not a show account. It's my private account. And if anyone knows me and they follow me on the Facebook, I say some things. And I had an opinion about how I think a lot of people use the word Jesus or the Lord as like promo material for themselves, to get themselves some love and make them look likable.
Right.
Like, I don't think they really believe what they're saying half
right.
the time.
It's code for I'm a good humanitarian person.
Okay. Our producer, Caesar, decided in his esteemed wisdom that he was going to scold me on my personal, private Facebook account. You know what he says? Matt, don't go there with religion. It's lose-lose.
Good answer.
Now, Caesar, we need you to come over to a microphone. I need to talk to you.
On his way here.
Ladies and gentlemen, producer Caesar.
Producer Caesar.
Caesar Marconi. He's fantastic at his job, but a little overbearing.
I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't say that?
No, I would not.
Caesar, why would you publicly scold me on my private account?
It's fun. I know it pisses you off. That's all I have to do is piss you off.
Let me tell you something about my private account. That is for all 1,060 of my personal friends.
Yeah, exactly.
My closest fucking friends.
Your personal account of 1,000 people is more than our fan book page. But
what's the problem with... What's the problem with me posting my personal opinions on my private Facebook account?
It's not a problem. I just was saying it's a lose-lose road. You know, one person comments, another person comments, someone gets offended, somebody just a never-ending chain. You never win.
All right, Caesar. I've had enough of you. I think my mother said it best.
Tell Caesar, whatever. He may not have boners in my basement.
No boners in the basement.
Oh.
It's the best place to have a boner.
As you can probably tell, we are now equipped with sound bites from previous shows.
Producer Adams put together quite the soundboard.
So that is now a weapon in the Matt Aaron Show arsenal.
Yeah, now everyone's going to be a little more careful when they talk. I don't like that. Right. I was worried about that.
I'm not going to be careful.
Kidding.
I'm terrified.
I'm like, when I call Chuck today, is he now going to be talking like a G-rated Disney movie?
100%.
Like he's never said anything like, oh, I want your cock. Lenny, my mother's calling you. You have your Lou Malnati's pie waiting for you.
Look at him scamper away. Oh, okay.
Did I just reveal that my mother's here?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Real professional.
She can be your cleaning lady. My
cleaning lady.
But, I want to see people not shy away from discussing religion as long as it's in a fairly civil manner.
Thank you.
Why not? You know what I mean?
Let me just say this. I get into very deep religious conversations a couple times a week with a couple friends of mine, and I think they're constructive. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do. But let me say this. Holy. How much food today?
Wow.
That's a large. Yeah, I took it.
Right.
So you know what I did with my weekend? Went to a party Friday and Saturday, one of those social gatherings. Like, it was a nice time, but, you know, Lee and Katie Rose, you both know I don't like going out. So I was kind of like the stick in the mud.
Which
at the
is weird, because it sounds like you're quite fun when you go out.
All right, so everyone's playing beer pong. They're like, play beer pong. I'm like, no. That's
why?
Kiddie shit. Kid games. I can drink like a man. I don't need to throw balls in a cup to fucking drink. One. too. Then they're like, well, let's play this card game.
Don't
what's
do
the
it when
card
you're sober,
game?
That's why.
What's the name of the card game, though? Cards of Horror or Death Cards?
Oh, yeah,
or,
where you do a
you know, when you're drinking.
Yeah.
Like two, an asshole?
That, well,
two,
kind
no,
of,
no,
no,
like
it's
a,
like each card means something,
means something
else.
Something. Two, you, oh, three right. is me,
circle
four
of death.
Is horror.
Circle of Death.
Yeah, right.
I would not play that.
Okay.
So I just sat there, and I was interrogating my friend's girlfriend for like 2 hours. I brought up how he talked about engagement, and it freaked her out. I hope I didn't do any damage, really. But
2 hour discussion about that sounds like it went okay.
Well, I had some questions. I really did. Sunday, I watched a Matlock marathon all day. Matlock was literally on 24 hours.
What channel?
Hallmark Channel.
Oh, God. Could life get any better?
I was happy. I mean, I'm a big fan. Nothing does it for me more than Andy Griffith in a courtroom. And you would not believe how many great guest stars were on Matlock before they were big names.
It was like
everybody.
It was like the Twilight Zone in Miami Vice. Like Chaz, all these people that got famous.
Right. Chaz Palminteri was literally in one scene. And it was the worst acting performance I've ever seen. And now Chaz is great. I love you, Chaz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what else I watched this weekend? The Chaz Bono Show. Bono. Chaz whatever.
He, she has a show?
Right. On OWN.
He, she.
What's OWN?
Oprah's network.
Oh.
And... don't ask me why I found it or how I found it or why I wa- look,
I know
listen.
Exactly how and why you found it.
Listen, I was very intrigued. All this Chaz does is play video games and hang out with his hot girlfriend all day.
Really?
So annoying. So annoying. Now, I don't want to talk too much about it because I do know someone that listens to the show that's friends with the Cher family, so I don't want to get in trouble, but Chaz kind of needs to do something with his life. Well, that's what he's doing.
Full on male.
Yeah. No. I take that back. Cut his boobies off.
Huh.
But left the wiener. No. I mean, left the vajay. Left
really?
The vajay.
What's
right.
the point then?
Off with the. Off.
I don't know, but he. She said that she would. He would not. Get a the male enhanced the male thing the
Makes
male
sense.
Operation.
Does she take, like, hormone?
I don't think you throw down an extends pill and lose your vagina leak.
No.
I'm going to roll the dice on this one. Not that I've tried extends.
My enthused shouting of the word extends
yes.
has no bearing on my knowledge of it.
Yes, not that I'm part of that civil case in Los Angeles for all the people that used extends and it didn't work for. No, I'm not a part of that, but maybe I am. But, no, I don't think extends makes your vagina turn into a wiener. But Chaz, yeah, I don't even know how this is a show.
I didn't even know that there was one.
All he does is play video games. Like, it's hard to watch. And then they fight.
Did they ever show Cher?
I've not seen Cher yet. But I'm assuming Cher's foot in the bill. I shouldn't say that. Oh, that's terrible. Possibly Cher's footing the bill. I'm a big fan of
so
Ron.
So she's footing the bill.
Okay. I'm a big fan of Ron Zimmerman. Ron Zimmerman is Cher's boyfriend. He and I are very cordial and pally. Don't want to say anything bad. Well, they're like off again, on again. I don't know if he's even going out with Cher now. I don't even know. I couldn't tell you. We don't. I don't like talking about Cher.
No.
No, it's a sort
well,
of
I'll Cher. Talk about Cher. Listen, let me tell you a
Cher
thing about
you
Cher.
Want.
I. No, go on with what you're going to say.
Oh, you're making me wet.
Well, we're about to call our first guest. And Peter Schnick wrote... Legion, which starred Dennis Quaid, and it was and Paul Bettany.
Paul Bettany, yeah.
Ooh,
Paul
like
Bettany.
Him.
You like Paul Bettany? And he also edited two of my favorite movies ever, Barbed Wire, with Pamela Lee Anderson.
Yeah.
Or Pamela Anderson.
Editor
Lee.
Of that movie, I think, would be probably the best job on that movie to work.
But also edited Top Dog, starring Chuck Norris. So we are going to call him any moment now. But before we get to that, I do want to bring up, Caesar, I'm still a little upset about you scolding me on my Facebook.
I think you should drop it.
Get over it.
Wow. You are not getting love on this. You are not getting sympathy.
I thought for sure Katie Rose would side with me, and I just got told to drop it, so I'm guessing that's out.
Well... Here's the thing. You already brought it up, so now that moment is gone.
You know what? I'm
going to... spent the nickel.
I'm going to ask Peter about it.
Ah!
We're going to get an expert's opinion.
Told you twice.
Told you twice.
Hopefully he answered.
Hello.
Peter, it's Matthew Aaron. What's going on, pal?
Matthew, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Lee, you want to say hello?
Hi, Lee Capreas here.
Katie Rose.
Hi, Lee.
How are you?
How's it going?
Peter, before good. We talk about the issue at hand, which is your career, I do want to ask you a personal question here. We were talking earlier on the show,
yes.
And my producer thinks that it is okay to scold me on my private Facebook account about what I can and can't say. Your thoughts? If someone...
Hey, it's out there for all to see. So if I agree. I've got to agree with your producer.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Greatest friends. It's private. All right, I guess that's fair. Peter, you have had a long, and historic kind of, in a way, career in my mind, because you're a guy that started at one place, and now you're at a totally different place, different kind of job, different kind of goals. Where did you start out? How did you start out in the business?
Well, I guess I came to – I was a strange kid, so I started making movies when I was about 8 years old on Super 8, and I had built a little editing room in my closet by the time I was nine.
Cool.
I sort of came to Hollywood, went to film school, and thought, like everybody else, that I wanted to be a writer and a director, and it quickly dawned on me that I better do something and make an honest living. So I found my way into an editing room, which was actually a craft that could make you some money. And I love editing. In fact, I continue to teach editing at Emerson College. But I never stopped writing the whole time. And between editing jobs, I would sit down at my desk and turn out another script. And one of them finally took off, and it's opened up a whole bunch of different opportunities for me.
So that – okay, before I continue on that, help me out here. The pronunciation of your last name is Schenck, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad I got it. Okay. it's definitely not a Hollywood name. You didn't fake that one.
You know, there's a Joseph Schenck, who was a producer back in the day with an E in it and a C, an extra C in it, so I could claim some sort of lineage there, but yeah. No.
I feel like if you put in an extra C or an E, that may help you out down the line.
Those are good letters.
It very well could.
Let me tell you something. Those are very bankable letters.
Yeah. So
feel free to change the spelling in any way you wish.
You get in the editing room, and what was, like, your first editing job?
Well, the first job I got, I was in a cutting room as an assistant for a while, and the first thing I cut was some sort of rednecks riding around shooting things, driving 4x4s. But the first real editing job that I consider is a job that I got with Adam Rifkin, who directed and continued to work with for many, many years after that. And he and I worked on a picture called The Dark Backward together.
Man,
a cult favorite.
Yes, it is a great movie. The Dark Backward.
Well, thank you. You'll either love or absolutely loathe that movie.
Oh, boy. The Dark Backward, to our viewers, is a movie that stars Roddy McDowell, or is it Roddy Piper?
I think that you may be confusing with something else. It's actually Judd Nelson and Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
Way to score some nerd points there,
yeah,
Lee.
Yeah.
Maybe Lee hasn't seen it, but it's a movie in which Judd Nelson is a stand-up comedian who's trying to make it, and he has no success until he grows a third arm out of his back.
Now what I'm wondering, now what scares me about this conversation is it appears he has seen every Roddy Piper movie.
Yeah. how did I think of that?
All those Billy Blank's Roddy Piper classics.
Right, Balance of Power.
Nothing in my filmography competes with a single Roddy Piper movie, but
right.
Yeah. Well, how was it working with you're still friends with Adam and everything?
Because the little guy calls me three times a day.
He's a really accomplished director. He's really talented.
He's incredibly talented, and what people don't realize is that as much as he's directed, he's written 10 times as much, and he's one of these guys who's just sort of floating around behind the scenes, constantly writing big movies, and you never, his name never really gets used, but he's out there.
Yeah, so now what got you into, before I get to the writing, though, I did want to get to one thing. Okay, so Pete, you edited Barbed Wire, correct?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, bring that up.
Yeah, you sound a little embarrassed. I heard that at the
patch. Yeah.
You got to look at Pamela Lee's boobs for, like, countless hours.
For 16 months of my life.
16 months of your life.
You know, the sad thing is that sounds like a dream job, and for about, I don't know, 2 days it was. And sort of like quickly after that, forget that that's what you're looking at, and you're just attempting to make a cohesive movie out of it after that. And that was a challenge. And yeah. It has nothing to do with Pamela. Pamela did a wonderful job, but it was a troubled movie.
I don't remember much of the movie. I do remember it was my favorite skin flick of the 90s.
She looks great. I mean, there's some iconic images of her in there, but it's sort of lacking a story, which some people tend to like in their movies.
The poster with her is iconic. I think the poster's outstanding.
Yeah, the poster's still in my office.
They got the graphic novel, like, look of it down perfectly.
I think you could have probably rolled the credits after the opening sequence where it shows her water at her. That's the
if anybody's seen that film, there's the unrated version in which the title sequence goes on for about 9 minutes just to cut in some extra TNA in there. It's pretty funny.
I love a good 9-minute title sequence.
Yes.
Now, Peter, you also did another movie. Oh, God, this is like my Top Dog. Chuck Norris film.
Yeah.
How was that? Did you enjoy editing Top Dog? I mean, it was...
Top Dog was an interesting experience. Working with the Norris brothers, Chuck and his brother Aaron directed, they're lovely, lovely people. And it actually, in all honesty, was one of the most fun times I've ever had working on a movie. As far as the movie itself goes, well... a strange story about that. I mean, not only is the movie a little bit of a turkey, in my opinion, but the movie opened a weekend after the Oklahoma City bombing.
Ooh.
And it's a family film that involves a racist skinhead plot in it. So suddenly everybody soured to the movie. I took my new girlfriend at the time to go and see it in Westwood in one of the big theaters there, thinking that this would be like a grand introduction to my career. And she and I were the only two people sitting in the theater when that movie opened the first day.
Well, let me say
it went down in flames.
But the good news, Peter, is you did get to meet Chuck Norris.
Yes, and Chuck is a great man.
Yes, not many people can say they've enjoyed working with Chuck Norris.
No. I believe if you worked with Chuck Norris, you've probably enjoyed working with Chuck Norris.
Yeah, I hear he's a super, super nice guy. He's, like you said, like the nicest, you know, most easy to get along with dude.
Now, Peter, is this
incredibly kind.
Is this IMDb credit a lie or not? Did you work on Suburban Commando?
That was on yesterday.
You know, after this interview, I'm going to have to crawl into fetal position and just cry for the next week.
Don't worry, we're getting the actual good movies.
Are there some? Yes, I worked on Suburban Commando. I actually came in for several weeks just to tighten up a cut, so I wasn't involved in that movie for very long. But
you didn't meet Bert Bollea.
I'm sorry, say that again.
You didn't meet the Hulkster Terry Bollea.
I did meet him. He also seemed lovely, but I didn't work with him for very long. I tightened the movie up by 10 or 15 minutes and went on my merry way. But I like that movie. It's fun.
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd.
Say when you worked on it, I get this image of you standing back on the set just being like, let's say he plays the arcade game so hard that it starts smoking and shuts off.
No, there's very little glamour in the cutting room, really. They stick you in a musty little room somewhere and hide you away and turn out all the lights and nobody ever sees you.
I'm wondering, Katie Rose, have you seen any three of these movies?
No, I have not.
Okay, put that up with their Godfather. She hasn't seen that either. Star Wars.
See the Godfather first.
Yeah, see the Godfather before Suburban Commando, maybe.
Watch the first half of the Godfather, then Suburban Commando, then the second half.
That'll give you a seizure.
Now, Peter, I do think a really good movie you did, it's a cult movie in my mind, is Detroit Rock City. I thought that was really fun.
I love Detroit Rock City. Detroit Rock City, funny story about Detroit Rock City is I was working on, I'm a lifelong Kiss fan. I was working on Barbed Wire, and my assistant, Carl Dupre, my assistant editor, and I would talk about our mutual love of Kiss, and I went off and saw a Kiss concert one day and came back, and we were talking about that, and he told me about his desire to go and to write a movie, sort of like A Hard Day's Night, the Zemeckis film. What was the Zemeckis film where they're all going to the Beatles concert? Anyway, he wanted to write a movie about four kids going to a Kiss concert. And so I encouraged him, so I sent him home from the cutting room early every day so he could go and write this Kiss script, Detroit Rock City. And he comes back several weeks later and has written it. I think it's great. He thinks it's great. He's incorporated a bunch of stories from my teenage years. And neither of us knew anybody in the Kiss camp, so I just figured, well, it was a nice exercise. It'll never get made. About 2 years later, I get this call from Adam Rifkin, who by complete coincidence has been approached by Gene Simmons to direct Detroit Rock City. Says, did you know that Carl wrote a script called Detroit Rock City? I said, yeah, I told him to do it. and so I ended up editing it just by complete coincidence. And, the movie is particularly near and dear to me because there's little, like, nuggets of my life in there.
Now, Peter, real quick, do you mind taking a phone call real quick?
Of course.
Hello, you're on the Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with?
This is Julia, Pete's oldest friend.
The love of my life.
Mr. Shank, my friend, I haven't talked to you in a million years. How are you?
It's been a very, very long time. Julia was my assistant editor on The Dark Backward.
Yes.
That fine, fine film.
It was a fun film. I had so much fun on that movie.
It was fun and very, very weird.
It was.
I think it's great because Julia is the one that introduced me to you, and Julia, my favorites. I love her. She's so funny.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
Very, very funny. You're welcome. I know you're single. I'm single. Just putting that out there. Katie Rose is giving me bad looks right now, like I'm a pro.
Oh, well, she hasn't seen The Godfather, so meh. Oh, The Dark Backward. I mean, come on. You got to do your homework if you're going to. Whoever's going to be on your show, you kind of got to do the homework. But who am I to say anything?
Oh.
Ouch.
Ouch.
It's called being a journalist. That's kind of what I do.
So. I'm not a journalist.
Oh, I know. I know you're not.
Anyway,
we had so much fun on that show. I mean, I just think one of the funniest times in that movie, Pete and Matt, I think you might appreciate this. I remember what was her name, the production designer?
Sherman Williams.
I remember coming in to the cutting room one day and talking about how when she worked on Platoon. Do you remember this,
right.
Pete?
No.
Oh, God. And how Willem Dafoe used to be able to suck his own dick. I was just
like
Willem
Dafoe sucking his own dick.
I remember sitting down sitting at my bench with this thing going, Did she really just say that?
I
don't even remember that story.
I need a beer.
Things happened on that show that doesn't even stand out.
Julia, Peter's in the business. He doesn't remember any stories about anyone he could possibly work with.
Right. No, hard to tell.
I remember that Cary Elwes came into the cutting room one day and took a look at a scene, and he was in a dark room wearing his sunglasses the whole time, and the director turned to him afterward, Adam turned to him and said, "What do you think?" And he said, it's very dark, man. And Adam said something like, yeah, well, it's bleak in parts. And he said, no, it's dark.
I remember that. That was hilarious.
Sitting there wearing his sunglasses.
Derek Elways wears his sunglasses in the dark.
At night.
At night, so he can't. He can keep track of the visions in his dreams?
No.
Pretty much.
Take your own. I know you've seen The Princess Bride.
But well, wasn't his brother, Kazian was the producer.
One of the producers, yes.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then do you remember the time that Sam Raimi was hanging out? Do you remember that?
When he I was... don't remember Sam coming in. I don't remember too much
Bruce
about
And Bruce Campbell?
That.
Oh, my God. It was
Bruce
hilarious.
Was and some of his friends, yeah.
Yeah.
A revolving door of interesting people in that thing.
Yeah, not to
Wayne
mention
Newton
some of them.
Hanging out in the cutting room was just wild.
Wayne Newton and then Judd Nelson. It was just odd.
How many people that I think are fucking awesome came into the cutting room?
Oh, my God.
I repaired Bill Paxton's tooth on that show. I traveled to New York with him, and we were sitting in first class, and he bit down on a chicken bone and broke his tooth on a Sunday. And we got to New York, and he couldn't get to a dentist in time for an ADR session he had to do. So we went to a drugstore and got some dental plaster, and I had to build Bill Paxton a temporary tooth.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. He was actually pretty cool. I remember him hanging out one day, too, and he was very funny.
Bill Paxton's the best guy.
Yeah,
in the whole
he was
world.
Pretty nice.
Yeah.
He was pretty funny.
And hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I love
those were good times. See, Julia's smart. She got out of the business.
I did. Yeah, right into another. I went, fell ass first into another failing business, journalism. So, I'm really batting 1,000 here, doing really well. Yeah, good times.
Julia, wasn't your last film you worked on The Breakup?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. That done it for me, too.
It was pretty funny. I managed to.
That would have been my ex as well.
Vince Vaughn is a douche, and his sister is an even bigger douche. And Jennifer Aniston was actually pretty cool. So,
good for Jen.
Yeah.
Big fan. Big fan.
I love her.
I know. She was. I made her laugh. I made her laugh because one day. My job was I was syncing the location dailies because they were shooting, but they wanted to see this stuff on film. They, whatever. So they brought me in to sync dailies, and so we were screening. We were about ready to screen them, and of course, nothing was working. So, and I was splicing together the last reel, and I managed to cut the tip of my finger almost off on the splicer, and I'm like, motherfucker, son of a bitch, and I see this out of the corner of my eye. This waif-like person passing by, and I turn, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. She's like, that was absolutely hilarious. I'm like, oh, thanks. Like, you've never heard swear words before? And she's like, no.
Up, Jenny,
she's amused by your pain.
I know. I was like, swearing. It happens all the time.
Well, hey, by the way, guys, if you can give me a second, I'm crossing Vince Vaughn off the list of people that will never come on the
right.
show now.
Oh, sorry.
I'm putting them on. No, it's fine. He would have never done it anyway.
If you're just
he wouldn't.
Oh, he would. He
if
would.
If no. you're tuning into the Peter and Julia show, we're...
sorry, I'll Pete. I didn't mean
back.
To step
quick,
on your harsh, your mellow man.
No.
So.
That Lee's always bitching when he doesn't get airtime.
Oh,
sorry, Lee.
Oh, it's okay. Actually, this is way better than what I could say.
Now, Peter, talk to me now about how Legion got made.
Legion. I wrote Legion, 14 years ago now, 13 years until it got made. And it was something, like I said, I was writing movies between various features that I was editing. And immediately after I wrote it, people wanted to make it, and it got bought up by one company that, they printed on Variety that the movie was going to get made, and then the company went out of business. And then another company optioned it, and they printed in Variety that the movie was going to get made, and then the producer left the company. Another company is going to get made, same sort of story. And so the producer who finally produced it kept calling me for about 3 years. He kept saying, hey, we're going to make your movie. And after 3 years of him calling me and telling me this, I didn't even want to take his calls anymore. And David Lancaster was the guy who got it made, and got it made in a much bigger way than I ever thought it would happen. So it's phenomenal.
Well,
it was worth the wait.
I got an interesting question. How many times did you get paid for that then? When the movie.
Yeah, I want to know that too.
Well, you know, I got to say, for a while, every time it gets optioned by somebody else, you get some option money. So after a while, it was sort of like an annuity. I just kept this script around, and you know, somebody would option it every couple of years, and I'd get a nice check. And so by the time it was actually getting made, I was thinking, well, do I really want to get it made? Because maybe I could just keep optioning it for a number of years to come. And fortunately, it's done very well. So financially, it's worked out to my benefit. But
Now, didn't pretty much the same team just do the movie Priest?
They did. Scott, to my knowledge, it's just Scott Stewart, the director of Legion, and Paul Bettany.
Mr. Bettany.
But yes, they did.
Yeah, no, but now, okay, so Legion, now, do you get an agent? When did you get an agent to pitch the movie, or did you put it in someone's hands?
No, that's one of the beauty things of being an editor for so long is, you know, what's great about being an editor is that you're alone with everybody who's working on a movie. You're alone with the producers, you're alone with the people from the studio, you're alone with the director, and so you sort of form relationships with a lot of these people that you probably wouldn't be able to forge anywhere else in the business.
But
and
Pete,
so,
I thought you had an agent.
I do have an agent.
Oh, you do? But did you have an editing agent, or you just have a regular agent?
I had an editing agent, and now I have a writing agent. But with all due respect to my agents past and present, the way I got it made was that as soon as I finished the script, I started handing it out to producer friends that I'd made along the way.
I hope you cut your agent a check.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I hope you didn't cut your agent a check.
Yeah, well, somebody needs to work out the contract, so it tends to happen anyway. But
oh,
yeah,
that's nice. If you can get it. That's nice.
Yeah.
So you get it into now. Whose hands does it get into at this point? Where they're like the time it got made. We want to make this. We want to make it with Paul Bettany. We want Dennis Quaid. Like, at what point does this happen?
In one incarnation, the movie was going to be directed by Gregory Dark, who is a great guy, a man mostly known for directing porno films and Britney Spears videos, something that sort of goes hand in hand, I guess. And this was going to be his first feature, and so we were all geared up and ready to go, and we had Scott Stewart on, and he was going to do the visual effects, because that's his background. And David Lancaster was the line producer on that. And when that deal fell apart at that studio, then David and Scott sort of championed it, and Scott wanted to direct it. And so for the next 3 years, they went off and tried to find somebody who would get behind it. And eventually they got Screen Gems behind it with Scott directing it. And then when Scott managed to get Paul Bettany on board, when I heard that Scott was trying to get Paul on board, I thought, he's never going to do this little horror movie. Well, when Paul Bettany signed on, it stopped being a $10 million movie and became a $30-plus million movie, and everything kept rolling from then.
Now then, my question for you is, I know you've been teaching a little here and there, but future-wise, are you writing? Is there another movie you're planning out? What's going on?
I just finished another script that's very much in the same vein as Legion. It's called Heathen. See? Similarity in the titles, Legion Heathen. And I've just started to shop that around. And what I'm telling everybody, because my family says, when's your next movie? When's your next movie? So what I keep telling my family members is, hey, the last one took 13 years, so maybe this one will take 6.5.
Yeah.
And that was nice.
Good. That sounds good. 6.5.
Are you particularly attracted to stories with a religious tinge?
10 years of Catholic school.
Yep.
Ah,
yep. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Katie
so,
Rose,
there you go.
I did the Catholic
nice.
School.
Catholic all boys school?
No, she
oh.
and I same school. Yeah, I did. I was there at the time. Now, right when I left, they started implementing the girls had to wear shorts under their skirts and stuff.
What?
But luckily,
right.
I was there during the skirt era. Yeah.
Oh, see, I was just all boys. So that'll do a number on you.
A frequent caller to the show, Chuck Salvatore, who's turned into a huge pervert. He went to an all-boys school.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't come out unscathed. Something happens to you.
That should be Peter's next horror movie. Chuck.
Well, funny you should mention it. It even takes place in a Catholic all-boys school.
It goes to an all-boys school and develops a thing for anal beads and trailer park women.
you were there, weren't you?
Chuck's tagline.
Winning.
Not about
wow.
It.
Yeah. Well, what? So you're working on. You got the new script that you did. Is there anything else going on for you right now?
I'm still teaching. I'm working on an editing how to edit textbook, and I'm remodeling my kitchen.
Now you're remodeling. I'd like to see that. I'm very interested in the kitchen.
Yeah, Pete, you got to post pictures of that on Facebook.
I will definitely post pictures.
Now, another question I had is, what got you into teaching, Peter?
I was incredibly inspired by some of my film professors when I went to Loyola Marymount, and so it was something that I always held those people in very high regard, and it was something that I always wanted to do. And then I met somebody, an older sister of mine, David Feldman, had been teaching, and he was giving up his teaching gig at Emerson, and he said that he knew that that I'd been interested in this one for a while, so he passed the torch on to me, and it's taken me 8 years now to sort of figure out how to do it well, but it's the best thing I do. It's all the fun without the politics, and you know, the kids are passionate, and it's great.
Yeah, I think that's great, because we need people like you with actual credentials and actual, like, I go to Paul University, and without...
Hey, Matt, we can talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I graduate in 2 weeks, so I can actually talk about this, I think, and not get in trouble. Lack of credentials over there, possibly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's nice that someone like yourself has decided to give back. I could never do it. But it's great that you are.
I try to teach the class that I always wish that I could take. And so I got people like Stephen Marioni, who cut all the Soderbergh pictures, and Babel
cool.
come in. And I got Kevin Tent, who cuts all the Alexander Payne movies to come in. And,
I worked with Kevin Tent.
Great guy.
Yeah, he is. He's a great guy.
Yeah. So all these amazing people come in and are kind enough. We go over to the animation department at Disney, where my friend Lisa Silver works, and you know, I wish I could have taken this class when I was in college. So
that's awesome. I'm really appreciative of people like you that give back like that. I think it's great. What else I was going to ask you was, is there anyone you want to work with that you haven't worked with yet? Anyone?
I want to stop working with Adam Rifkin.
now Rifkin, he friends with Tarantino. Can't you get him?
He's friendly with Quentin. Yes.
Yeah. Can't you get him? Peter, come on. What are you doing here?
He won't make that introduction for some reason.
Oh, he could call you times a day, but he can't introduce you to Duke with Eli Roth and all those nut jobs.
He knows that if he made an introduction to Quentin, that I would stop calling him back. So
yeah,
that's the problem.
Right. You would stop calling Rifkin, and you'd be calling Tarantino.
That's exactly right.
Peter, I really appreciate you coming on. I'd love to have you on again sometime. I'd love
absolutely.
To get
this was a blast.
Yeah, I want to get more editors on, because to be honest, I mean, there some of my good friends are editors, like Julia. I love her, and you guys,
oh,
great.
Man.
You guys have the best behind-the-scenes.
You guys
stories,
have
though.
Good stories. And
oh, my God. You know, just to back up a little bit about Pam Anderson, I worked on VIP.
Oh, here we
TV
go.
TV series. So, you know, this is Pete's time, but I was just going to say that to you later, Matt. But since you brought it up back, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff, I thought, well, you know, I work with Pamela, and she used to hang out with us in the cutting room, and it was hilarious. So.
Well, you know, now, did she hang out with you like she's your boss, or did she hang out with you like she's buddy-buddy with you?
Like buddy-buddy.
Oh, good.
And she would tell the raunchiest, she used to tell the raunchiest jokes. Of course, I don't remember any of them, but she was pretty funny.
God, I still love Pam.
I thought she was very sweet and much smarter than she
She is. Very. She is very sweet and
so
very smart.
Are we thinking part of her persona may be put on? She's a lot smarter than she acts? Yeah.
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 You gotta be to be in the position where she's
but
in, where
see,
she's still making money off of just looking good.
Yeah, but yep. she, I, that was never her persona, though, being a huge ditz.
Oh, I think it was.
I mean,
I think
being
it was.
A gigantic
she had that sitcom on Fox that was all her being a dumb blonde. That was the
no, when I was working on Barbed Wire, I'd be working with her during the day, and she's very, very bright and perceptive, and then I'd see her on the Tonight Show that night, and she'd be dumb as a log, and it's an act.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I kind of caught on to that. Well, I think it's great. Peter, we'd love to have you on again sometime. Julie, I love having you on. And
anytime.
We should get Laura on.
I'm on. Julia has to be on.
And if I'm ever on for whatever reason, Pete's got to be on.
Well, Julia, we should get Laura Bong on.
Written in blood.
We got to get Laura Bong on, who's a hoot.
Great. She will tell me the best editing stories ever. She really
is. Yeah, she will. Talking about Nora Ephron. It's the funniest stuff you've ever heard.
Right.
Don't associate with editors. They're weird little mole people.
Yeah. A lot of them are. I mean, I think I can say that now because I'm no longer in the business. But
Lee would make a good editor, but he's not good looking enough to be an editor.
Oh
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Trust me.
Well,
is he pale enough?
You haven't seen Lee.
If he's pale, he should be a sound editor.
Come on, I'm honest, and you know it.
By the way, Peter, my producer Caesar has a question for you because he's all Mr. Hollywood. He wants to know how it was working with Tyrese and Dennis and Paul on Legion.
You know, I would love to tell you. I would love to tell you wonderful stories about them all, and I've met them, and they were very charming to me. But you know, as soon as you're a writer, they tell you never to ever come out of your office.
Yeah, you're so.
I love that.
So. I don't have a lot of depth of experience with them other than walking a red carpet with them and them being very, very lovely to me.
For the final product of the movie, though, did you notice any differences because you were locked in your office? Did anything get changed that you weren't aware of?
I've been an editor for many years, so I know how things evolve because when you're in the editing room, you're rewriting things, and Scott Stewart, the director, did a pass on the script. And so it was an eye-opening experience because I watched Legion for the first time, and I thought, this is like some child that I participated in 13 years ago and has grown up in my absence, and now it has like sort of similarities. I recognize its eyes and its smile, but that's about it. Whereas the things that I've cut, I know incredibly intimately, and it's odd that I have much more of a relationship with the movies that I've edited than I do with Legion, really.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And, Peter, I thank you so much for your time, and Julia, you as well.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Hopefully talk to you guys again.
Yeah, no, that'd be great, Peter. I will talk to you soon. I'll be out in L.A. next month. I'll hit you up.
Excellent.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Love them both. I think we say that about every guest, though, at the end of the call. We're like, love them.
Well, I mean...
Oh, big fan.
We have fucking awesome guests. Come on. Admit it.
We have pretty good guests.
We have good guests.
We have pretty good guests.
Who would be your dream guest?
My dream guest? Hold on one second.
Bruce Campbell.
Dream guest.
I don't even know who that is.
No, not Bruce Campbell. Calm down over there.
All right.
Bruce Campbell.
It's the old style talking.
Yeah.
My dream guest is George Clooney, but he'd be a bore. He'd be a bore.
Then why would he be your dream guest?
He's my dream person to like sit across from me that's not Katie Rose Cronin. But, my dream actual maybe fun guest. Why is everyone getting fat around me, by the way, with all this eating? Katie Rose and I are the only ones being professionals at all. Everyone else
but we're
just,
drinking, but I'm a professional.
No, drinking's fine.
I grabbed one bite.
You fat fucks. All you fat motherfuckers with your pizza
and your
beer.
You're just jealous. Yeah. Pizza.
Fucking A. And are you? Oh, does anyone offer? No! It's only called the Matthew Aaron Show.
Where's Stacey? She'll be your pizza
not
bit.
The Lee Capreas shoving pie in his mouth show.
Oh, God damn it.
My dream guest.
Yeah, back to
your dream guest.
That would actually be fun. Oh. I don't know.
It's someone you want to bone. Just think of someone you want to actually have a conversation
with. Yeah, no, I'm not thinking
of
bone. I'm thinking like conversation-wise. I guess.
What about Crispin Glover?
No, doesn't interest me at all. No.
I want to talk to all my nerd icons. That's who I want to talk to.
And Crispin Glover is your nerd icon?
Crispin Glover is why he doesn't get laid. Who do I want to talk to? Oh, I do know someone. I would love to talk to Diane Keaton. Yes,
kind of weird.
Yes, I would try to bang her, but yes, yes.
I hear she's
I
always
do.
Cold and she
yes.
wears gloves and
yes.
tie.
And turtlenecks, and mm-hmm. I totally want to see it in person. And, like, I think you and her would get along. I think
try
we'd
to
have
bang
a merry
her.
Little
I've
time.
Liked her. Would you be hitting
yeah.
on her over the microphone from where she is?
I've already hit on people over the microphone.
Yeah? Or do you think she would come and do the show
nothing
live?
New. Yeah, no, she would do the show in my basement.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
She would hang out with my mom upstairs for a little bit.
Okay.
They would talk about, you know, whittling scarves or whatever they do. And whittling scarves for Billy Deck. And,
whittling scarves?
Oh, whatever they do. I don't know. But that was a good interview, though. We got Salisbury on in 10 minutes. I'm going to call him. I mean, I could call him now, but we're waiting on Lenny. Lee will be disjoining us in 10 minutes, though he may call from a cellular device or something.
I might.
When
he's going?
Fired.
Or I might just shout out from the corner of the room when I think I got a good clip. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
So fired.
I know.
And Lenny.
You can take my mic.
Lenny Leonard Cannata will be singing. And no, Katie Rose, I've missed you now almost like 2 weeks, almost pretty much.
Yeah.
And you're sitting in the whole time.
Okay.
We should call Charles at some point, though.
I don't know about that. I think we should keep this one above board. I think we should keep it
I love how we're having a quiet, like, meeting while we're on the radio.
Yeah. This is where we work out all our business.
I do
want to
hear about
the
Cougar Fest, though, that
we're
going
to get to it. After we talk
he
to,
made you.
After we talk
to
Salisbury, I'm calling Chuck. It's,
okay,
it's decided on. Where's Lenny? Can someone go get that fat fuck
they're
so I can call
sick.
Salisbury? I don't care if he's smoking.
They went out
sick.
For a cigarette. All right. They ordered a thick crust Lou Malnati pizza. And so that's been what we've all been focused on the whole time during that interview. I could smell the fucking thing. I couldn't concentrate.
I just can't believe, like, I got fat fucks outside smoking. I got fat fucks inside eating. Like, no one's doing a fucking show. Like, this is fucking, like, you know when, like, kindergarten, you have those parties, and your teacher throws you a little party, and all the little classmates are fucking around? That's what I got going on here. I'm the only one fucking working other than Katie Rose. Katie Rose, gold star.
Thank you.
How do you like that, Jewy Capraeus? I'm giving away your gold star.
What are you talking about? All right.
Oh, you fuck. God.
By the way, I have so much prepared material, it's not funny.
I love that Lenny ran. I love how Caesar ran outside to get Lenny.
Right.
Oh,
and is Stacy outside, too? Did you see Lenny and Lenny hitting on Stacy?
No. Was he? I can't see him.
What?
Oh, it was like a big Italian, like, hoagie. It was like all this Italian loving going on behind you.
Was she blushing?
I could just see Lenny being like, oh, yo, Toots, hey, you, the dame with the yams, go make me some meatballs and spaghetti, huh?
She would. I feel like she would secretly love that. That took him up.
Yeah, some macaroni and some meatballs.
I totally play matchmaker.
I'm losing single friends by the second. We should not hook anyone up.
No, she'd right. be the best friend, girlfriend of a friend.
Hey, Kanata, are we ready for you? Where'd
we
Stacey
do,
go?
We want to do...
won't be seeing her no more.
What do you mean we won't be... Wait, whoa! Lenny, what'd you do to Stacey?
Won't be seeing her anymore.
Oh, my God. What does that mean? What'd you say?
Wait a
dark
minute.
Out. What do you know?
What does that mean?
Did you kill
out?
Her? What?
She's outside.
Oh, okay. Jesus
She's
Christ.
Down.
We'll get back to it.
It's dark out. You never know.
I don't got time.
Caesar with the fucking button in. He's got notes. Thank you. I got no fucking time for notes.
See, there she is.
Do we want to do the...
Oh, thank God. I thought you were dead in a ditch somewhere.
I thought you were in Lenny's trunk.
Lenny what? Suggested that he raped and murdered you.
Like we're really weird.
No, just murdered.
Wait, you called Lenny real weird?
Which one? I made several perverted comments.
Oh, Jesus. Lenny, would you get on the mic? Lee, we'll see you soon.
All right.
Come back later.
I might be back
Lenny,
later.
Lenny, sit your ass.
Sit on my lap.
Stop being a politician with the sitting on the laps.
Christ.
Jesus Christ, this show is a mess. I got fucking hoodlums everywhere. Hoodlums. Stacy.
Former career.
Yes, another beer would be great. And now I won't hook you up with Lenny for doing that. I'll hold off on that.
Okay,
you should
thank
be
you.
So honored to hook up with someone like that.
Ladies,
what do you mean? Oh, I got chicks lined up down the block. Wait till we leave here.
Why don't you introduce yourself?
Lee, you kept the seat nice and warm. I'm warming it up even more. Oh, he's in the bathroom. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's warming up the other seat.
Hello, this is Len Cannata.
All right, we're going to call Sean Salisbury so we have enough time to call Chuck Salvatore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I've been looking over Caesar's shoulder. He really doesn't do a fucking thing. It's all a joke. He looks busy over there. He's looking at YouTube videos, Facebook. He's full of shit.
Really?
Are you online shopping?
That's why Caesar's getting
paid. I love you,
paid.
Caesar. I love you.
That's why he's getting paid the big bucks.
What, you bought him a can of beer?
No, I didn't even buy him that.
No. And whoever bought the beer, we are not reimbursing.
That's Stacy.
All right.
That's Stacy. I think we should film this stuff.
We should.
Hello.
Sean?
Yes.
Matthew Aaron, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Well, it's good to talk to you. What's going on? How you doing?
Talk to you. Oh, I'm doing good. Just relaxing, watching The Mentalist.
You and my mother with The Mentalist.
I love The Mentalist, my man.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I am. I'm really glad to talk to you here. I really
no
am.
No problem. I'm honored, man. You're a good man. You're good people. I love following you, as you well know. So.
Well, you know,
I appreciate it.
You know, I feel the same about you. Sean, I was talking earlier, and I've made some posts and stuff. You started out at USC, correct? That
yep.
was your first, like, big... Now, you were one of the best USC... I mean, we were talking about the college football school, one of the best USC quarterbacks of all time.
Well, when I left high school, I was voted the number one high school quarterback in the country. I went to SC. I left there as the all-time leading passer, but blew out my knee twice while I was there and still was fortunate to be around some, you know, good players and have that. But I didn't obviously have the career that I wanted because of injuries. But since then, you know, Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart have left that record the books. But it was a fun run for
me. But how much do you think the job you did at USC helped that program get in guys like that?
You know what? I think that it, you know, when I went there, Matt, it was to the point where, you know, SC didn't have to do a whole. It was even before all the scholarship rules. SC really didn't have to recruit. I can remember John
yeah.
Robinson, coach, coming into my room in my house, and they had their national title ring on, and all they had to do was point to that, and it was pretty. You recruited them more than they recruited you, and I'll never forget as long as I live when John Robinson came in there on the final time when I was making my final decision, and he said, you know what, Sean, I'm going to provide you an environment to be a great player in and give you an opportunity to have a great career. He said, but whether you come here or not, we're still going to line up on Saturday and we're still going to win. And, you know, that kind of hit me because, you know, I'd gone on trips to Notre Dame and was getting recruited by all these schools, and I thought, man, I want to be a part of that. And it wasn't arrogant. It was just fact. And, you know, when I went to school with Marcus Allen and Tim McDonald and all the great ones that had Chip Banks, I mean, the list of Bruce Matthews and Don Mosbar, and I can go on and on with guys. You can make a Hall of Fame team from those guys, and I was just fortunate to be a part of it. But, you know, I think what it did, you know, when Pat Hayden before me, and there wasn't a lot of name court. Paul McDonald and Pat Hayden, probably the two big-name quarterbacks before my time. And then from then on, you know, myself and then Rodney Peete and Carson Palmer and Matt Leinart. So it's... What used to be running back you has actually become now with the Matt Barkley's has actually become a place for great quarterbacks to come out of there. So it's been pretty cool.
Right. No. Yeah, it's a great school. I love following them. And then you had a storied NFL career. I mean, you were injured as you stated. You had the bad
yeah.
knee. But I mean, you played with some great players and some good teams.
Yeah. And you know, like I said, I love the position. I think, Matty, I miss more than anything the competition. But, you know, when and like I said, it was a good run, and I'd been on a couple teams, and we had the greatest thing about my NFL career. And you know, I had some fun runs and, you know, was able to play against some great players and win some key games and play in playoff games and do some things that brought out the best in my football side by playing against great players. But when you think about who I played with, I mean, I was, you know, when you've played with Marcus Allen and Eric Dickerson and Herschel Walker and Joey Browner and Randall McDaniel and Gary Zimmerman and, I mean, the list, Steve Largent, David Craig. I mean, the list goes on and on. I guess more than on the field in my career, I remember more the locker room, because I'm not a big stats guy. I remember the locker room and the feeling of watching great players play and the competition and the feeling walking out in the tunnel and going out there. So it was a 10 years of playing was pretty special, but I would have liked to get more out of my career, but I sure as heck am proud of, you know, overcoming injuries and not being drafted after I was supposed to be a first-round draft pick and blowing out my knee twice. So the thing I'm most proud of is my stick-to-itiveness and to be able to grind and never give in and never give up.
Well, yeah, and, you know, it's funny you brought up how you're not a stats guy, because as an analyst over the years, you've never been a stats guy, which
I think stats are overrated. Go ahead, bud.
Well, it kind of just feels like to me when you do your job as an analyst, you actually watch these games. You get a feeling sometimes these guys read the stats and don't watch the games. I get a feeling you watch all the film and you see how these guys are playing, and that is how you gauge their performances.
Maddie, no question. And, you know, when I'm following you and we're talking or emailing or Facebook, you're the same. When you watch your White Sox play, you're not worried about, oh, the guy hit 220 the month. I mean, I'm you know what? I'm a stats guy when they matter. When his stats matters, like wins and losses, and then how many times a guy has helped his, you know, well, what's he do when there's a minute and 30 in the game? I could care less that the guy threw for 120 yards in the fourth quarter, but it means nothing to me. We are so caught up in this ESPN slam dunk, throw the stats up there, the guy threw for 400 yards. You know, I don't care about all that. When people say, Sean, what were your stats? I honestly couldn't tell. I didn't have great stats in my career. I wasn't a full 10-year starter, but I don't care. I know some of the things I did. Found a way to grind out wins and do it. But there's when I watch, you know, these great players, and when I do my job, just like you, man, when I watch you break down movies, because I know you're such a movie buff and TV show guy, you watch it, you study it, you learn it, and some of these movies that you've seen 20 times, I still see you and listen to you break them down, and I love it. And music the same way. And that's what I do, man. I watch every game, and I'm proud. I do. I tape and watch every single game every Sunday in the NFL, and I've done it my whole life. Because I don't want to be that guy that goes on a show and says, well, I read the USA Today and said he was 18 of 24 for 280 yards. And that doesn't mean anything to me. I want to know, did he make the players around him better? What did he do in clutch situations on third down when it was first and third, you know, first and goal at the five? Did he throw an interception? Those are the things I don't mean this arrogant, but I don't know anybody who has more passion. There's a lot of passionate guys, passion, preparation, hard work, dedication, teamwork. It all comes into one. There's a few out there. But there's 80% of them sit on the fence. They're afraid to form an opinion. They're afraid of hurting feelings, and they'll either kiss ass or they won't kiss anybody's ass. I mean, I just do my job, and you know, I've had one run-in with a player in 15 years of doing it, and that was Terrell Owens, who has a run-in with everybody. And T.O. and I don't have a problem with each other, but I just didn't kiss his ass. I mean, I didn't like the Sharpie situation. So my job is to get on there when I get paid to go on there, and if a guy throws five picks, even if he's a dear friend of mine, and it's happened many times, he sucked. You know, you throw five picks, you suck. Believe me, I know what sucking is because I've done it enough in my career. So I don't. I believe in preparation and passion and giving an opinion, and that's what they pay me to do. And I have a little trouble now with some of the TV stuff that I see that people want to soft sell it, and then that's what sell it. That's what people are watching these days. I think the fans are getting cheated. I think football fans and base. I think you're getting cheated. If a guy's going up there and telling you, don't tell me that it happened. I can see it. Tell me why it happened or how it happened or how to fix it. So. I'm really passionate about that because I look at guys that are making $2-3 million a year. Do I envy? Yeah, there's a little envy. Does it bother me? Not jealous. I'm always happy for somebody getting theirs, but I damn well know that there's a whole heap of them that are on there that I think, what kind of pictures do they got of this dude? Because to me, if you prepare, you don't have to fear anything. And then you just let it loose. But if I'm an executive, I'm hiring somebody who brings it. I don't care if you were a star in your sport either, another overrated thing. There's a lot of stars in their sport that can't talk their way out of a wet paper bag. Tell me something and prepare tell me something I don't know. And a guy in the business a long time ago, Matt, he told me when I first started ESPN, he goes, tell me something I don't know.
Right.
And that means giving up there, even having been in the huddle. I've been there. I don't need to tell them that I played, but I need to give them experience and take them inside the locker room, inside the huddle, so the fan at home gets their money's worth. We're getting cheated these days, and they need to have their money's worth. And I'm quite proud of the fact that I'm a lot of things, and a lot of things I'm not. I got a lot of weaknesses, but I'll damn well tell you, when it's time to tee it up and play, I won't take a backseat to one analyst in this country, period, in any sport.
No, I have two things to say about that. One, I think sometimes your passion's probably mistaken for anger. And
oh, no question. No, and you know what? There are times I've been, and not just him, but almost to the point where, man, oh gosh, he's too opinionated. Well, you know what? I'd rather have somebody tell me to back off the throttle than I have to tell somebody to grab a cup of coffee and get on the throttle because they bore me to tits. You know what I'm saying?
I never heard that saying.
Katie Rhodes now loves bore me to tits.
Thanks for that.
Are you going to be using that, Katie?
Most definitely.
There you go. So, you use whatever you want, but you're right. And some can take it, but mine, I'm not angry on the air. I mean, you get passionate about somebody who screws up, but mine is just sheer love of what I do. I really do. I absolutely love what I do, Maddie. And
yeah.
You know what? If that means that I'm not kissing somebody's rear end to get a job, then I guess I won't have one. But I'm respectful. And I do what I got to do. There's people that are better, smarter, better looking, all that. But you got to combine it all to be damn good at your job. And I know darn well what I lack, the weaknesses, I'll overcome them with passion and love for what I do.
Well, Sean, that leads me to another question. You turned down becoming quarterback's coach for Denny Green in Arizona, correct?
Yep.
Why?
Sure.
Because you have such the passion, you know the sport so well, you were a very talented quarterback, so why did you turn that job down?
Matty, great question. You know, at the time, and I can remember when Denny asked me, when I was playing a team, when I was playing quarterback for Denny, and he said, when you're done playing, you come see me because this is what you need to do. And this was on the sidelines during a game. And I was always prepared and studied. Like I said, there's always better, and I'm very humbled. Believe me, I've been humbled enough times. When you fail enough times, you're humbled. You just keep battling back. But I watch the game different. I watch it different than the others, and was always trying to stay a player or two ahead. And so when I was done, Denny had said, I want you to come coach with me. And so, you know, then he left Minnesota, didn't know what he was going to do. Then he came to ESPN as an analyst, and I said, you know what, get the job, let's talk. Well, Arizona called him up, and he met with me right away. And he said, you know what, I want to walk up that tunnel again with you. I'm quoting him. I want to walk up that tunnel again with you, and let's compete, and let's go do this thing. He goes, and it won't be long before you're a head coach. That I promise you. And it was hard, Matt. At that time, I was in the prime of my career at ESPN. My kids were a little younger. And I told him no, and he understood. And to this day, I don't know if it was the right move. I don't. You know, part of me thinks, man, we could have fixed that Arizona thing, and we'd have done it better, and Denny would still be there. You know, there's that ego that goes along with every athlete or anybody that thinks they're better than the next guy. But I still, to this day, I think it was at the time. Had he asked me 4 years later, I'd have gone. Had he asked me today, if he said, Sean, leave TV and radio to come coach, I'd go. I'd go today because I know that I could take it to an offensive coordinator and a head coach level because I'm willing to put in the work. But I still to this day, I think I made the right choice at the time, but you always look back and say, what if? And I do. And I've talked to other coaches in other situations, and there's a situation that's going to rear its head here shortly. Manny, I don't know if I'm going to take it either, but it's going to rear its head here shortly in June. And when it does, I'll come on your show and talk about it. And if I take it, it's a way to get back into that. But with all the other TV and radio stuff, I got a lot of decisions to make in the next 45 days. Let me just put it to you that way. So I love teaching. I love coaching.
Yeah.
I love being a difference maker, and that's why if I get into coaching, it's going to be for one reason, because I do train kids privately, quarterback coach them all over the country. I train them privately, but to be a coach, if I do get into it, it's going to be for two reasons, to win and to be a head coach. And once I get through it, and I'll do everything I can, but I every day I go through in my mind, who would my staff be if I was a head coach? Who would I put on my staff? So don't you make a great point. I think about it every day and wonder if I should have taken that gig, but you know what? It's passed, and I'll look forward to the next one. And if that opportunity arises, then I'll jump on it and jump down his throat.
I got to tell you, Sean, I played football growing up, and you sound like every coach I ever had. Yeah,
right, but I tell you this, though, but there'll be a difference in mine when I coach, because I've been in those locker rooms with everybody. I'm not a cliche guy. I don't care what the media thinks about if I hire a guy that they don't like. I don't care if a guy's been through. I already got a couple guys that I'd hire on my staff that have been through some that are big-time coaches that have been through some difficult times. I call them up and hire them in a second. And I don't care if it's not politically correct, because you know what? People need second chances. People deserve second chances. People deserve redemption. I only know one person that didn't make a mistake in his life, okay? And the rest of us have made plenty of them. So I don't care about that. I care about winning and doing by any means legally to win. And if you ain't trying and you ain't cheating a little bit in the field and trying to grab somebody and hold them and tackle them when you're not supposed to tackle them, then you're not a winner. And so
Right.
I love the competition, which makes me want to get back into it. So I will consider it here shortly.
That's all I do. When I play Monopoly, I'm cheating all the time.
Why not? That's like, get you, man. Put that. You're buying Park Place and Boardwalk. You're in, buddy.
That's right. I hide some money under the board. I slip
there
my.
There you go, buddy.
$500. Now, Sean, let's move away from football because you and I have been buddies for a while now, and we don't talk football. And I feel like you have to talk football with all these jack wagons all the time on your page and stuff. Everyone's always asking you a million friggin' football questions. Let's talk about some other stuff that interests me. But my producer, Caesar, and I, we were talking earlier this week, and you had the opportunity to act in a film and coach someone up for a film. And you coached up Adam Sandler for The Longest Yard.
Right. I tell you, Matty, it was unreal. And the funny thing about it, that ought to show you that I can coach. Because about 80% of the things, other than the hits he took, it was him on camera throwing that ball. I ought to show you I can coach. Somebody ought to hire me in a second, because if I can coach Adam Sandler to be a quarterback, I can coach anybody. Tell you how this happened. We just finished doing our coverage of the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. I came back to the offices in Connecticut, and there was a message for me waiting from a guy named Barry Bernardi, who's the senior boss with all the Sandler stuff. And there was a message on there from his assistant, saying, could you please call Barry Bernardi? We're talking to you about a movie and about doing some stuff with that, you know, with Adam Sandler. And I was like, I thought it was one of my buddies joking. I didn't call back. This honestly got true. I didn't call back about a week later. And the only time I'd ever met Sandler in my life was I was doing a preseason game with Dan Fouts, Charger preseason game. And Fouts had done Waterboy with him. He walked in and said hi to Dan. I shook his hand and said, hey, I enjoy your work. It was an 8-second conversation. Never talked to him since. Loved him because I thought he was one of us. Well, then they called back about a week later and said, again, so-and-so. And this time it was Barry calling me, Barry Bernardi. So I picked up the phone, called back. I still thought it was one of my buddies being a jagoff. So I called up, and it was them. And they told me, and they said they're going to do the remake of Longest Yard, which I'd kind of heard a buzz about. I said, yeah. And they said, they're looking for somebody to train the quarterback. I said, Paul Krug, huh, who was Burt Reynolds in the first one, you know, macho guy, tough guy, who played football in college. Burt Reynolds did. I said, yep. Well, who's Paul Krug? And they said, Adam Sandler. And I kind of laughed. I said, wait a minute, you want me to trade Sandler's play of Paul Krug? I kind of laughed. I said, it's going to cost you a lot of money for me to train that guy. And I laughed. And they said, oh, well, and he said something like, well, I think he's got it. And I said, yeah, he does. So we made an arrangement. I flew out to Los Angeles, and Spade was there, and Rob Schneider, and the producer, and the, you know, of all Happy Madison. We all sat in a room. My agent and I sat in there. And Sandler told me what he expected, and they all told me what they expected. And I, being the dumbass that I am, said, well, here's what I expect. I expect you to work hard like if I was training you, and I love you because you're Adam Sandler, and I adore you, but when you're out on that football field, I'm teaching you. So I'm Adam Sandler to you. Like I'm one of your kids in your movie. We're going to work you. He said, I just want to be able to throw it 40 yards. I said, don't worry about that. We'll get you to throw it 40 yards. They said, but you got to learn every, like you do, because you're a great actor, learn every nook and cranny about the position. I said, because my name's on this. I'm shocked. I said, of all the quarterbacks in the country you could have chosen, I said, why me? He said, well, I saw you on TV, and I loved your passion about the game, and I'd heard about it, and so that was it. And that's how our relationship started, and he became great at it, put all the time in, as you know he does with all his stuff, and is the most loyal friend. And if there's a Hollywood couple that'll never break up, it'll be those two. He's like a brother to me now. I love him. There's nothing I wouldn't do for him. And we trained hard. He pulled the role through. It's made a ton of money. And then he put me in some other movies, obviously, after that. And I wasn't going to be in the movie originally. He said, Salisbury, I got to give you a cameo. I said, okay, that's no problem. Then the next movie, he made me a gay little league coach and bench warmers, which was, I told him the next, I said, dude, I'm not doing, and then he wanted to make me a gay fireman on Chuck and Larry. But I was doing ESPN in the fall, and ESPN wouldn't let me away to do the movie. I said, let me tell you something, you ass clown. The next movie I'm in, I better be making out with like 8 women in the movie, because I'm tired. I'm getting a reputation with all my macho buddies that that's all I can do. Okay. So that's really how the relationship started. And do you know, he'll sit on the court side for the Laker playoff game. I got a text from him the other day saying, I love you, kid. And he's really been I don't know if mentor is the right word, but we've had some amazing laughs, some inside stories that I can't tell on here, but maybe one day I will. He's a special guy. First time I saw him, I showed up in Matzo Ball, whatever that dog's name is he's got.
Yeah.
And his wife were in their robes. The next day, I went to train him. He's eating. So he goes, wait a second, Salisbury. He's in his boxers. She's in her robe, nice as could be. Great, great woman. Too good for him. I tell him, I said, dude, you married so far over your head. And he loves it. And he went out there and worked. And some of the things I'm proudest of is just how the relationship we formed and how proud I was of how much dedication he put into it. But of all the things I've done in my life, that's one of my biggest thrills. And, you know, here Adam Sandler's calling me, and he paid me, and he paid for every penny, and treats you like gold, man. And I'm honored.
That's what I hear of him.
I got a chance to.
He's a dedicated, great guy.
You know the people in the business.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. Not only is he dedicated, never turn his back on you. This is when I say, and I'm telling you, I've been around we've all been around stars, all you guys on your show, you've seen them all. This is you know what a true superstar to me is one who doesn't act like it. And I don't know if we have time, a quick story. We were love this. And Sandler's not a big money talker. You know, I asked him, I said, where's all your money go, dude? He goes, I don't know. I don't even see the checks. He doesn't care. You know, I mean, I know deep down he cares, but you know what? He's made so much money, he doesn't know what to do with it all.
Yeah,
he can't spend it all. So we're flying on a new G4. When he invites about 15 of us to get on when we fly out to Santa Fe to do Longest Yard. So it's me, a couple of the other actors, and then the producer and a few people on board. So we're sitting there. It's beautiful, brand new. And, you know, I've been on private planes before, so I had to give him a hard time. So we're sitting there, and the guy who's getting us all set up with all the food and drinks and cold beer or whatever, I say, what's it cost to fly this to and from Santa Fe if I were to do this on my own? He goes, probably back and forth round trip, like 35, 40 grand, whatever it was. I said, oh, cool. I said, so that's cool. And we talked a little more. So the plane took off, and Sandler is sitting across from me like you would in, you know, he's across the aisle, but with these private planes, they got seats that face each other. And so I finally just stopped. He's reading the USA Today, and it's in front of his face. And I said, Sandler, did you pay for this thing? Or what? Did you pay for this out of your own pocket to get a seat? He goes, come on. He goes, I bullied Sony to do it, you know, Sony Pictures. That's what I figured. I knew you wouldn't pay for it. So he puts the paper back up, and I said, and it's in front of his whole face, and I'm staring at the newspaper, and I said, yeah, you'd think a guy who makes $10 million a film, you know, could a movie, could actually take care of his buddies with all the dedication we put in and pay out of his own pocket. I mean, he barely picks the paper down, and just his eyes are showing. And he goes, don't cheat me out of my other $5 million. And I cried laughing. That's his meeting. Dude, I make $15 million a film, so watch your mouth, you know. And it was just his simple way of saying, and he's in his tennis shoes and shorts like he always wears, his basketball. And we had to play basketball every day before I trained him. We'd go play 2-on-2 or 1-on-1 basketball before we trained on the football field. He loves hoops. But when he said that, I started laughing because there wasn't an arrogant phrase in the way he said it. It was just so matter. And then he went back to read. He goes, dude, don't cheat me out of my other $5 million. Put the paper back up and finished reading. And it was almost as if to say, remember your place on this plane, my man. And I laughed, and I didn't ask him again if he paid for the plane. That was the end of it.
No, I've been told him and I dress quite alike. We have very similar clothing.
Are you a baggy shorts, high-top tennis shoe wearing guy?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep, that's him. That's it. Put him in a suit is like pulling wisdom teeth with pliers, dude. No shot.
Oh, I bet. Well, I don't
love
suits. I look like a friggin' penguin. I look like a mutated penguin.
Oh, so you're the one that can't take the next bad hand, so I'm not the penguin, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, look who's talking over here. Like,
I'm more of an egghead or something.
Yeah, egghead. Well, now, Sean, I was wondering, too, about your experience on Benchwarmers. You did. You got to work with Spade and Schneider,
yep.
And that was a
yep.
good.
Yep, and Lovitz, and who else was on there? You know, Kilborn. I mean, just all of Sandler's crew. You know what I'm saying? From SNL and all those guys. And Matty, it was when he asked me to do it, he said, I got a great role for you. And when we read for the role in the conference room, it was great because all of us were in there, and we had a lot of laughs.
I got to tell you, Sean.
Go ahead.
I'm crazy jealous because you and I have talked numerous times. You know Sandler's my idol, like of all time.
Yes.
Like, and they tell you in Hollywood, especially in Hollywood, you don't want to meet your idols. They're going to disappoint you. But I just imagine that's the one guy that would not.
Yeah.
You won't. I'm telling you, this is the one who will not disappoint you. I've met a lot. Believe me, Maddie, I know what you're talking about. We all have those idols. He won't. This is the one that won't disappoint. He just doesn't. And so I mean, when he invited me to do it, I said, well, how big is the role? And it was really a damn good role, and I loved it. And we played it to the hilt and had a blast. And, you know, working on that set with those people, I'll tell you what even made it better. My two sons, he put them in the movie, and they were on my baseball team as kids in the dugout. No speaking role, but they were on there a couple times. You saw them at the plate. and doing it. And he treated them like they were his kids. Well, they, you know, they had to go take, what, 3 weeks off of school or whatever it was. And so they had to tutor them like they do in all the movies with the teachers, and they had to go to class. But while we were filming a movie, they would, you know, like John, what's the John Heater, the, you know, from
Napoleon.
Yeah, exactly. John Heater. They'd play, and Rob Schneider would play catch with my sons every day. Samuel would let my kids sit in the director's chairs during the set and there then watch, you know, the takes and the rest of it. He calls my son, to this day. He's talked to him on the phone. And last year, my daughter's school project, she wasn't in the movie. He was in the jungle film in Hawaii, filming with Jennifer Aniston, you know, this most recent movie with Jennifer Aniston. He broke down on that and called my daughter for her final school project and spent 20 minutes on the phone with her during an interview while he was shooting that movie. So if you think, the only reason I say this is not because it's me, it's just that that's what he does.
Yeah.
Come on, taking time out in June or in May to call my daughter when he's filming a movie in the middle of a jungle and time is money on those, he took time out and was awesome to her. Her and her girlfriends did an audio, you know, and they were taping it and putting it on there because it was part of their final project because it was has to do with like the movies 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, or 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000 about the way movies have changed, and my daughter's into it. And he did that, so my kids think he is, you know, they may even like him more than they like me, my kids, but he is just, Maddie, he's the one guy, and somehow, some way, we'll arrange for somehow, I don't care if it's to shake his hand, if it's to put a script in front of him, you know, I'm in the business of trying to make a difference, and if it makes a difference that I can somehow get you in front of him to say hello, you will thank me, not thank me, but you'll thank me and come to me one day and say, you know what, Sean, he will not disappoint me. There's plenty of asses out there that will. This isn't one of them. He's on your side and one of the best people you will ever meet in this business, and I love him. I sincerely mean that.
That's incredibly kind of you. That's very nice of you. Yeah, I hope. I wrote, you know, I think I sent you my pilot. I wrote a pilot that was...
Yeah, I have it, exactly. And I got kind of one time when you were out in L.A., I couldn't be out there at the same time.
Right.
I don't want to set a pilot on his desk that he doesn't read, because when I present it to him, he'll read it. That's, I mean, to be able to see it and meet the guy, name with a face, because, you know, he's a busy guy, but... He will somehow, some way, that will arrange that. And, you know, you're a talented guy, and that's an awesome pilot. So regardless of that, you need to meet your hero at some point, and we'll do that, because I sure as hell know I'm not your hero.
I think you could tell if you read the pilot. It's very – the comedy is very
– Sandler-like.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yep, no question about it.
You could tell that influenced me over the years. Sean, I want to talk about your pilot, though. What is
– Yeah.
You just filmed it last week, correct?
Yep, we did it in Miami, and I got a couple other things going on, another show that I can't talk about right now,
but
will, because I think it also, matter of fact, I think, Matt, that this may be the one that we just shot last week, I think has got a chance to be really, to be great. But there's another one that I think is going to be, that will be a sports show unlike it. And the one I shot last week is too. It basically is what Jon Stewart does for Comedy Central. For politics, but for sports.
Right.
A couple of the writers from Chelsea Lately wrote the stuff, you know, and you never can tell when you're doing that pilot how the response is, because the laugh track's not in and they got to put the editing in. But it was funny, and it was also hardcore opinion sports. And now the next thing to do is you present it to networks and hope it gets picked up, and if there's a few things they want changed, you change it. But, you know, I'm always, Matty, I'm one of those guys that have had a great run, but I am, when it comes to pilots, you never know. It takes one to love it, and maybe 10 do, maybe one does. But I'm going to wait until, before I get too excited, wait until I get some reaction to it. But I know that the people that saw it loved it. But then again, until the paychecks are signed and the rest of it, you never know. But, you know, I think it's a great combo of sports, hardcore opinion, and some really great laughs. But I've always wanted to do a daily show like Jon Stewart, but based on sports. And I think this has got a chance to be pretty good.
You'd be great at it. Because, you know, and you had Chuck Barkley on, correct?
You know what? We were going to do an in-studio. Charles couldn't make it. And then we had another guest, and we put them on hold. And you know what? I said, Charles will call, watch. And he called in, and we spent 19 minutes. Now, we'll edit that down for the pilot. But he called in, and he was typical. He's one of my favorite people on the planet because he does what I do for basketball. He just, you know, he tells it like it is, man.
Yep.
He's not afraid. He's not afraid to tell the truth. And Charles was his typical Charles fashion, and it was a great get, and the people loved it. And anytime Barkley's on your opening show, and it was a nice get for us. And Charles was so kind to take. You know, it was at his daughter's graduation when he called, his college graduation. So even more so that he would take the time out for a Yahoo like me to come on the show, so I'm grateful.
Well, Sean, I do want to talk about one last thing before I let you go. And
yeah, Bulls are heat, Sean. Bulls
oh,
are
oh,
heat.
Oh, okay, two
What's
last.
I've got to go. You know, I'm going Bulls, man. I am. And I hate to say this, and Barkley commented on that. He thought the Bulls were better, too, because I asked him about it because I was in Miami, so the natural question was to ask him about the series. And, you know, for me, Miami, at the beginning of the year, the chemistry, you knew it was going to come around, but I said at the beginning, I just don't know if they're – Now, they've got three great talented guys, two really. Chris Bosh, sometimes soft, sometimes not. But, you know, the big two is pretty damn good. I mean, we know that. But I just don't think, when it's nut-cutting time, that physically, I don't know if they're big enough in the middle to handle what's left. I just don't. And you know, they're going to give – believe me, those two guys, LeBron plays lights out and Dwayne, they're going to be hard to beat. But when it comes right down to it, I don't know if physically inside they can win the whole thing. Now – You got to get great play from the inside the blocks from the Bulls. Obviously, D. Rose does this, but it can't. I'm going to tell you what the Bulls aren't going to win if Derrick Rose has to carry him every single game. They've got to have somebody else. Luol Deng's got to step up. Noah's got to get to the glass. They have got to have some extra special play by somebody else to where Rose doesn't have to hang 40 on him every game. Because if he does, eventually there's going to come a time, you know, two or three of the games, he's not going to be hot. And in a seven-game series, you got to get to four, and I'm still going with the Bulls. I think it's going to be the Bulls and Mavericks in the final, and I think it'll be one hell of a final if it is. But you know what? If Miami stays hot, you're in trouble. I just don't know if inside physically there's enough presence on their team to sustain it. But then again, with two superstars like Miami got, who knows? And I guess also emotionally I'm pulling for the Bulls because I've always had a little bit of, outside the Lakers, I've always had a little bit of, you know, pull for them, and I think Chicago's as good a sports town as I've ever been in. And, you know what? There's nothing about Miami, about that team that I care about. So
Sean, are you speaking of Chicago? Are you coming in this summer? You going to go Wrigley?
Yeah, I'll be there. I told you. I promised you I was coming here. We're going to Wrigley Field. I know you're a Sox fan, but the area around Wrigley Field is a little bit better and a little bit more fun, and you can get a little bit drunker.
He's a Sox fan. He's sitting there in a Cubs shirt.
Well, exactly. Well, there you go. Let's see. Put one foot on each side of the fence, Matty. There you go.
Thank you.
But yeah, we're going to go, and you invite your people out, and we'll go.
This is what Hollywood people do. They're not decision makers. They put one foot on each side of the fence.
Well, here's what I'm going to make the decision for you. We're not going to watch the Sox. We're going to a Cubs game. We're going to walk, get there early. You start with the Bloody Marys, and you troll around Wrigley Field, and then we sit there, and we go out and have a blast, and go out after, and we'll make it happen. Make sure the rest of your people on your show are going, and it won't be long before you're too big a star to hang out with guys like me, so I got to get you while I can, man.
Thank God. Thank God, because I'm broke. Now,
hey, buddy, we get to the top of the mountain. Remember, rock bottom's a trampoline, my man. That'll be the name of my book. You hit rock bottom, you bounce back up, and you're on your way back. You're going to do some great things. You're a talented guy.
I hope so. Finally, before I let you go, Celebrity Apprentice. I'm pretty sure I know where you're going with this, but you and me, I'm guessing, are both going John Rich.
I don't think I from the first show, John Rich was the best. From day one, when you got poise, he's just ornery enough to win, but he's just calculating enough to make sure he knows how to manipulate the situation. But he's honorable, he's dedicated, he knows how to raise money. You know what? When you look at how they go in the boardroom and somebody says something bad about somebody every time. Not one time in any show, and this is the first season I've ever watched Celebrity Apprentice, ever. I've never watched Apprentice. I don't watch a whole lot of reality TV, but I watched it, and I began the charity. I didn't realize they could raise that much money for charity. John Rich has been the most dominant from day one, and do you realize not one comment has ever been made negative about him? Not one. And everybody else, you know, there's the NeNe Leakes buffoon. And, I mean,
remember last week when they were all in the boardroom, everyone said, who should go to the finals? John Rich. Every single person.
Yep. That's exactly right. Even the ones John didn't pick, he probably should stay. They
even
all picked him.
They all picked.
For me, I would love, I never wanted to go on a reality show, but after I seen this and see where you get a chance to go on like you would as an analyst and go in the boardroom, this is one reality show I'd like to go on because I would have loved to have a shot at Star Jones or NeNe Leakes or when Meatloaf was crying or at Jose Canseco's lazy ass. I wanted a shot at a couple of those, so please give me the chance one time to get that shot. But, yeah, John Rich, and it won't be close. As much as I like Marley Matlin, this competition's over, and I think we know that.
Well, Sean, on a closing note, since you're helping me out by helping me get to Sandler, I will help you go on a date with Nene. Fair trade?
You know what? No, I thought you were going to say you were going to help me get in front of Donald Trump to be on that show. No, it's not a fair trade because I don't want to have to kill somebody. Good gracious, dude. I'm trying to stay out of trouble, not get in trouble.
What did you say, Nene Leakes, the Real Husbands of Atlanta?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said Nene Leakes is part of the Real Husbands of Atlanta. Dude, one thing I've always known, I don't ever date anybody bigger than me, okay? She's bigger than me, okay? She's got one of those asses, you spank it once and come back and hit you 10 times. No thanks. God love her for turning that show into a celebrity and being a widely known celebrity. I don't hate her for it, but I'll tell you what, I wanted to jump through that TV screen a few times.
But you had to cheer on when she went off on Star Jones.
Oh, I do. When you send me that message, say, we rarely disagree, but on this one, I was on your side because Star Jones has got that the condescending. Oh, when it got to that, that's the first time I said, Nene, you go ahead and wear her out. I loved it. Somebody called her out because Star was visibly scared, and I loved it. I thought it was great.
Nene went ghetto on her. It was great.
I didn't have a problem with that at all, my man. No problem at all. But you know what? You could do something for me, but no, I'm not dating Nene Leakes. I'd rather date Meatloaf, okay?
Well, Sean, we will get you in Donald's hands then. You'll be on The Celebrity Apprentice. We'll get you.
Bet your money on me because I'm not walking out of there losing. I can promise you that.
Do you got anything you need to promote, Sean? I really appreciate you on the show.
You know what, Matty? You can have me on anytime you want. If you want to bore your people, put me on. But no, if something does come up, I'd love to have your promotion, and you're great at it, but what an honor to be on. I appreciate all three. I think there's three of you in there having me on and listening to my nonsense. But this has been a blast for me. And anytime you need anything from me, you know you can count on me, buddy.
You're the best, Sean. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Matty, appreciate it. Tell you guys thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Now, women go to the bathroom together, Lenny. That's
I know, but
it.
This
They're
is a one
doing...
seater with a shower.
Yeah, well,
I mean, this is a person's house bathroom.
Do you think Stacey is talking about with Katie Rose whether she should make a move on Lenny or Mike Turzo?
Ooh,
I don't know.
I think I like Stacey right now.
Okay,
Stacey.
We're calling Stacey in the
I'm
bathroom?
Just keeping the seat warm.
I don't know, but he's still talking. This fucking guy.
I don't know, what are they talking about?
I have no fucking idea.
Here's what, because I was listening to the show the whole time you guys were interviewing.
Yeah.
Hello?
The audio.
Hey, Chuck.
Even with Sean, the audio was popping?
It was popping a lot. No, not with Sean.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Just towards
afterwards
the afterwards.
Chuck?
Yes.
Chuck, are you there?
There, now you know.
Yeah, I'm here.
Chuck, you know.
Oh, they are laughing in the bathroom.
Oh,
we got
Katie
Rose and Stacey.
Well, you know what's going on back there.
No beads.
My small penis.
Absolutely.
No.
Hey, wait.
No beads.
No, it's
no beads.
You got that? Hey, show him the picture of the penis we drew.
She likes a dirty talk.
Did you see this?
Yeah. What were you guys doing this whole time?
You'll see what
I'm not denying that I'm not a freak.
There's Matt's mouth.
Charles.
Okay.
And a picture of
Yes.
Him. Are you there?
To scale.
Yes, I'm here.
Now, you know, this show's just now totally gone the crapper because I got producers yapping, God knows about what, right over my fucking shoulder, like I'm a fucking invalid.
What's he complaining about?
Yeah, what am I complaining about? What's going on?
Well, all right, if you're listening to the show, if you're not sure what's going on, this show this whole time has been going on in the midst of a party. There is a party happening around the show.
Yeah.
And part of the show. So that's why.
Matter of fact,
there's a lot of people here.
Give me a slice.
There's food. It's gone.
I think everyone ate your fucking pie because you went to go have a cigarette and left it unguarded.
I only had 4 slices.
Of a large.
How much did you eat? And Turzo is never allowed that
dinner. I
didn't
have one fucking piece.
I offered him one slice. I offered him one slice.
Well, they all took their one slice.
How about you, cameraman, Reesh? How many slices did you eat?
So basically, there's a party, and I'm the only asshole that wasn't invited.
Now, would you have come if you were invited?
Listen,
Chuck, I thought you don't like going out on work weeks.
Don't get offended.
I go out on work weeks. I don't like staying out till 3 a.m. on work days.
You know what, Chuck?
Oh, I want your cock.
Listen, don't get offended. The only reason you weren't invited is because you weren't considered at all. That's why.
Katie Rose, are you coming back into the fold now? Are you retiring? No, I need to talk to you. We haven't talked in 2 weeks. Sit down.
Wait a minute. Somebody following us on Skype, say right now who should stay in for the rest of the show, myself or Katie Rose.
We've had plenty.
Skype? Is there people watching video?
I think I know who's going to win.
No.
So they don't know I have no pants
on,
right?
No, yeah, no, they know that.
They know I got a pedicure.
Is there a reason you called me?
Chuck, we enjoy your company. It's so we don't have to hang out with you on the weekends.
Charles, would you like to go see Pirates with Lenny and I at midnight tonight? And Mikey Perry?
Would I like to go what?
Not the porn pirates.
Pirates. Yeah, not the
not ass pirates. We're going to see Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, I have no desire to see that movie.
Okay. Why not?
Oh, it looks shitty.
And then you got Stacey Singer saying it's lame, but she prefers Star Trek over Star Wars. Like I'm going to take
she
advice from that,
that
kind of a person.
That's why she wears her head up. She wants to look like one of them Star Trek broads.
Oh, you're making me wet.
I think I like. Oh, wow.
Hey, wait, Chuck, Stacy's here. Katie Rose's pal, remember?
Do you remember her?
No.
She didn't believe gabagool was a word.
What are you talking about?
Oh, here we fucking go. He is a confused young man.
Chuck, when we went to New Year's and we saw Katie
Rose. Oh, yeah, okay.
And she didn't remember, she didn't know what gabagool was. She said it was made up.
Stacy, say it for us. Gabagool. Gabagool.
Yeah.
Now say it the way you fucked up people say it. Capicola.
Capicola.
I'm Irish. Capicola. So the
Katie Rose,
the
is that how Irish people say Capicola?
I guess I would say Capricola.
Capra. There's an R. Now she's throwing an R in there. There is no R in there, Katie.
Well, I wouldn't know.
I could spell it out.
No, she's not in evil beam.
How do you spell Capicola? We'll just spell it the way it should be said. G-A-B-A-G-O-O-L. Gabagool.
Yeah, gabagool.
Gabagool.
I feel like you guys are choking when you say it.
Gabagool.
Well, that's because someone was trying to say Capicola, but they had a lot of it in their mouth at the time.
What is gabagool? That actually makes sense, man.
Yeah, well,
that's the smartest thing I've ever heard you say.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever?
Legitimately.
Oh, great.
I'm actually proud of you.
Charles?
Yes?
Okay, just making sure you're still around. How come you don't talk this week, Charles?
How can I with the old 10 of you blabbing about gabagool and capicola?
No, there's only 3 of us, but we're bipolar and schizophrenic. So.
Oh, I'm wet.
Oh, he is? Oh. You're wet, Chuck?
Charles,
you're wet?
No.
No.
Oh, my God, this pork chop.
Not after listening to you two fat asses.
Whoa!
You know, Terzo's here, too, so there's 3 of us.
You got the wine?
Oh.
Terzo found the Ric Flair DVD.
Katie Rose going with the wine. Hey, okay, you wish you looked like Ric Flair. Calm down. How much fat chick sweating is in your hair tonight? What's holding that thing up?
Did Dino Bravo wearing his work sweater vest?
Did you see Terzo sweating during the interview with Sean?
Yeah, that was horrible.
Terzo.
Well, I sweat when I eat.
I mean Terzo. Mikey, you were like crying from your forehead, man. Bad.
Tear ducts on the forehead.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Chucky?
Yes, he.
No, you're here. Okay, good.
Is there any girls we could call, you think? To get on the phone with Chuck?
Without the phone?
Or we could start doing like a Katie Rose could be like, what are you doing talking
here,
to my boyfriend?
We can call my sister in Tampa. See if she answers.
Does she have a boyfriend?
Yes.
So Katie Rose could call her and be like, what are you doing with my man?
All right.
All right. Oh, you know what?
Gordo.
Yeah, he's great. He's coming in next.
What's your sister's name?
Sarah, yeah. Like her and Charles talk. They have
Sarah, I know you're listening. Pick up.
She's not going to answer.
Oh.
Probably working.
Dumper.
Or she's listening to the show.
Yeah, and she's like these saps.
So, Charles.
Yes, Matthew.
Anything going on in your life? Anything good?
What's that?
Anything going on in your life? Oh! Tell Katie Rose about the Cougar Convention.
Yes, please do.
And I'm going to pull up a picture of you in the broad. Go ahead, talk.
Okay, so we went to a Cougar convention and got a hotel room, and we were like hanging out there, and it was pretty bad. Like most of the women, they were like 50, And this, like, 50-year-old ugly broad comes up to me and is like, do you want to dance? And I'm like, okay. So I was, and of course they're, like, taking pictures of it because they're, like, little immature children. So I grab her phone because she got a text message, and I'm like, oh, what do I see? And her friend says, like, hey,
oh,
what are you doing?
Here she is. Hold on, Charles. So everyone can get an idea of what your girlfriend looked like that night.
Really? Really, Charles?
Oh, my God.
She was dancing with her. Like, nothing happened.
That's not the blurry picture. She actually looks blurry like that.
Matt said you
guys... Oh, yeah, no. She was hideous.
Chuck, what did you guys do that night?
Nothing.
You're lying, Charles.
No, I slept with somebody else that night.
Oh, no. It's the chick that I'm pointing out. It even says in the picture, Chuck getting some.
Yeah, I know that picture, you moron. It's not the chick that I fucked that night.
Why are you whispering like I'm the only one that's going to hear you?
Because I don't want my roommates to hear me.
Your roommate?
Listen, is it really necessary to humiliate Chuck this much?
No, we're not humiliating him. Here's him dancing with her. You want to see a picture of them two dancing?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
are you wearing denim on denim?
I like how...
Am I? No. I wasn't wearing jeans at all.
You've got the mullet of Danny McBride's character on Eastbound
yes,
and Down.
Definitely.
Oh.
Wait, do you have to pay to get into this? Into the Cougar
Charles,
convention?
Katie Rose has some Cougar convention questions.
Charles, do you have to?
Yeah, I think it was like $10 or $15.
What about the Cougars? Do they have to pay?
Yeah, I think everybody did.
Gross. Listen, I would go to a Cougar convention. I don't think it's the most weird thing in the world. I would have gone with you. Yeah, I don't think it, listen, they're people too. They want to fuck. They want to have a good time.
I would have never gone to the Cougar convention.
Well, you know.
They're people.
It's all right. There's
first
nobody...
of all, can we just tell, do you have a picture of Matt and he's showing you what he's wearing to this thing?
Okay, I will show them that, just to be fair.
Will you show that?
We'll call it Even Stevens after this.
Yeah.
He's basically wearing his pajamas.
But you will notice the woman I'm talking to, 1,000 times better looking than the one Charles was talking to.
Did you bring that Coke in your pocket?
I snuck it out from the hotel room. It came with my pizza. I ordered like 3 pies because I thought everyone...
By himself. We all go downstairs to see what's going on at the stupid party, and Matt's like, I'm going to get a pie. So he orders, like, a pizza with everything on it. He eats, like, 3/4 of it.
Maybe. And I ordered some Coca-Colas, and I brought them downstairs.
So weird.
Well, I didn't want to pay for them inside the Cougar convention.
When you came to that New Year's Eve party, you had, like, an RC in your pocket.
I'm always prepared.
So I was prepared with the third.
Why is Turzo in the bathroom with Lenny?
Yeah, it was cute when the ladies did it.
Yeah, it was, you know. Yeah, it was cute when Stacey and Katie Rose went in the bathroom. When Lenny and Turzo go in the bathroom together, not so cute.
No.
That's a whole lot of stank you just don't want to know about.
I'm happy we went first.
Hey, put my Chris Farley bobblehead back. Why are you moving everything around in my studio?
It. Keep going.
He's moving everything around. I've never seen a man so entertained. Mikey Turzo. Go put on that Ric Flair DVD and enjoy yourself. Woo!
Oh, what a show.
Charles. So, yeah. We're at the Cougar convention. Charles is hooking up with the shaggy dog that you saw. And then...
Okay, Charles talked to her for like 5 minutes.
And then you found out she had a boyfriend.
A lot of pictures taken in that
time. Yeah, a lot of pictures.
Or a dick.
I bet she had a hysterectomy. She just looks like...
Oh.
Wow.
Is that like really heavy woman shit talk?
Yeah.
Like when women get together? Because I know when I really want to insult my guy friends, I go, he looks like he had a vasectomy. Fucking loser. Charles, have you gotten a vasectomy yet? Because I'm feeling like you may need one. You hooked
no,
up?
No, I haven't. No, I don't plan on getting one.
See, this is what's funny. Everyone thinks we're teasing you, but you hook up with a lot of ladies.
I have had my share of hookups.
What would you say that number
fact,
is
though,
for
or
you?
Does he just tell you he does?
He just tells me. I'm
you
not there.
Know.
I don't want to be in the trailer.
You're not
it's
in
happening.
The trailer?
No.
You're not handing him
no.
a
He does. I mean, come on. He talks a game.
No.
He hooks up with a lot more women than I think I hook up with, and I'm good looking.
Are you? Thanks.
I don't know about that, but
I don't even know who. I don't even know who, what the guy's name is that said this.
Oh, it's turning into Friars Club, and Lenny left.
Folks,
I thought for sure Lenny.
Hope you're enjoying.
Be here for
hope
the
you're enjoying
Club.
The Matthew Aaron comedy jam.
Yeah, that's funny.
I'm just getting this vision of a guy who goes around randomly jerking off other guys.
I had to throw Lenny back into the show somehow.
Yeah, that
good
was...
thing I got.
So you want to know? You want to know the number of my one night stands?
I would love to know that number.
Yes.
I think
give
five.
Oh, Chuck, five? That's so disappointing.
But
if you mean
yeah.
five last week?
Oh boy.
Five or six? Five. Yeah, five or six. I don't remember.
How many of those do you regret?
Three.
The right answer was none of them. For a man, none of them.
Terzo, Lenny, you got anything you want to say to Charles?
We're at time delay here.
Well, do you got anything you want to say to Charles?
Oh, no.
Terzo, you got anything you want to say to Chucky? Oh, he's silent. Oh, he says you're a jerk off.
Oh, he's making the hand slamming motion.
Yeah, coming from Terzo, I'm so offended.
Yeah. Oh, in 20 seconds, he's going to look very hurt.
Yeah.
See? What did I tell you?
They're drinking wine coolers now, Charles.
See if he found it in the back of your fridge.
Oh, you found one?
Oh.
Is it any good? Probably
actually,
like 5 years
but
old.
It's kind of good.
I wouldn't have taken that.
Oh, when you
that.
Age wine coolers, they get only better.
I wouldn't have taken that from the Aaron family fridge. Someone in this house needs that.
Well, I told Lee because he was going through the fridge last week and like you don't want to drink anything in there. It's like 5 years old. Everything.
Yeah, and I go okay, and I shut the fridge. Dead air.
Why
while
are you
Matt
shaking?
Drinks.
Bartles and James Exotic Berry Flavored Malt Cooler.
Doesn't it just bring you back to like 17 years old?
It brings me back to like 12 years old when
yeah.
I thought like it was juice.
Yeah. The word malt brings it back to when I was black.
Juice
and
is
I, was
funny.
On a,
I am betting.
Doorstep.
How many of these do we got to go through to get drunk, Katie Rose?
Like 30.
You know what? If you drink more than one, you're a queer.
If you drink more than one, you're a queer. But
he
if you drink
had,
one, it's okay, Charles.
You just had a delicate.
No, you shouldn't actually be drinking
that one.
I feel like that's what you drink when you just like OD.
I feel
and
like
slow down.
I feel like Charles is our Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City. Yeah. He's just kind of.
I don't know what that means because I'm a straight male and I've never seen Sex and the City.
You have too seen Sex and the City. Don't
I swear, I have never watched an episode and I have not seen either one of the movies. I've seen nothing of it.
You know what you told me about Sex and the City, Charles? I know for a fact you saw it because you told me.
Supposedly it's supposed to increase the orgasm.
Yeah, right. There you go.
That's exactly what it was.
Matt, that must have been during your drug period because I am dead serious. I have never watched an episode.
Did you just call me out about being a drug addict on the air?
Yeah, you know, back in the day.
Back in the day.
Don't call Matt a drug addict. Granted,
yeah.
Right now he's running his pinky finger through his gums in a frantic motion.
And Lenny's now playing with Stacy's bun. That was
yeah,
cute.
Yeah. Matt, if you want me to start embarrassing you, I can come up with some stories of some of the stupid that you've done in the past.
What have I done that's stupid, Chuck? We got 8 minutes of show. What have I done that's stupid?
Didn't you get arrested for giving some minors some drugs?
Oh, time out! No, we're arrested, shermested. We're not talking about any of that.
Charles,
I never
message me.
I am not responding to that question, Charles.
Oh, okay.
Story. Who goes that far? You've now brought up drug addiction and getting arrested.
So?
What a dark show.
You got
arrested for giving mine?
You like making fun of me for no reason?
Well, it went along with like eight other. Okay, I got 9 misdemeanors in one evening. Well, a lot of them got dropped because I had a shyster of a lawyer, or as we like to call, Jew.
Ah.
What? What? Marconi, are you making comments about my Jewish talking? Well,
are you his Adam there?
When I thought a Jew, I looked at you. Maybe it was the other way around. I looked at you and I thought a Jew.
Is Adam there? How about the first time I met Adam when you took a leak out outside at the Wiener Circle?
Now you're going to throw Adam under the bus, too? Is this like Chuck's Revenge Week?
All I said was Adam was there. I didn't throw Adam under the bus.
Isn't that a good first time hanging out, you, me, and Adam?
Why were you
and
taking a piss?
And how skeeved out am I right now? I don't know. I'm like, I'm talking to Charles. I'm watching Terzo rub Stacy's shoulders. And now he has a boner. He's walking away.
Lenny is
There's
shimmying.
Boners in the basement. All I wanted the entire show.
More boners in the basement.
Boners in the basement. Just not.
You know what? On second thought, thank you for not inviting me.
Oh, wow.
So, Charles, you recall that party with you, me, and Adam? We had a good time.
Yeah, no.
What do you mean, no?
No, after that first party, I was like, when I went back to school, I was like, I'm never hanging out with Matt again. Homosexual.
Why, Charles?
Because I thought you were all a bunch of crazy drug addicts.
Now, what did Matt do to give you that impression, Charles? Tell us.
First of all, I know he was on something because he was just acting and talking more ridiculous than he usually does. But then we were at Wiener Circle eating, and we're at, like, the benches outside, and he's, like, moving closer to me. And I'm like, what? Why? He's, like, just moving closer. So right there, he just whips out his penis, and he starts peeing outside while we're sitting on a bench. And the big 500-pound security guard turns around, looks and goes, are you pissing? And Matt just yells, run! So we all had to get up and run away.
Wait, what did you
yell? What I want to know is,
what
why,
did I yell, Charles?
Why when you were at Wiener Circle, did you pull your penis out and piss under a
I had
table
to go.
Why
in
not?
Chicago, where we have security guards for hot dog stands.
I had to go.
Okay.
I pissed in the DePaul cafeteria? Oh, yeah, that was you.
It became the Wiener Circle.
Chuck, what did I say? Oh, wait, someone else is calling. From California. We're fucked. Hello, who's calling?
Please be Kim Cattrall.
Hello, you're the master. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run
around,
forget you.
Thank you, that is a good
idea.
Actually kind of sounded like it.
Charles, what did I say to the guy at Wiener Circle, though? I forgot.
I don't know, I thought you just said run.
No, oh, run. No, I did say run, because he was big and black.
I know.
He was really black.
And then I went back, and there was, like, you, Adam, and two other dudes, and I know those dudes were on, like, X or something. And I was just like, I'm never talking to any of those fuckers again.
Hey, Charles, you do know there are people in Los Angeles and New York listening to this show, and now you've made look out to be Corey Feldman.
No. I did back in the day. You know, you're not on drugs now. At least I don't think you are.
Thanks, Charles. Now I look like a fat, uglier version of Mickey Rourke and Corey Haim. What?
Talk about Katie's wedding.
Oh, Katie Rose. That was the wedding.
Oh.
Lenny wants to know any good stories.
Hot chips, bad chips, dirty
chips? No, it was great. It was at Salvage One, which is like a weird, cool, artsy, raw place in the West Loop. Why are you looking at me like that?
These fucking yokels. Katie Rose, did you have a wedding hookup?
Ooh.
No.
Yeah, Katie Rose, no wedding hookup?
No.
I hope not.
No, I was with all brothers and sisters and sisters-in-law and brothers-in-law and all that kind of stuff.
So that doesn't mean you could slip over to the coat room and take one for a while?
Wow. Charles, that's going on the soundboard. Flip one over and take one in the coat room for a while?
Yeah. you know, flip over to the coat room and, you know.
What a gentleman.
Take a pounding for a couple seconds.
You, sir, are like Casanova with those words. I have to tell you. My God. I could feel myself filling up.
No, you know what, though? If you think this is bad, Lenny's going to be calling in from Vegas next week. God knows what kind of filth is going to be going on out there.
Having some fun. He's going to be too busy at the buffet. You're going to call him and he's like, he's going to be like, can I have one of those, three of those, two of them, three of those, and a Johnny Walker Blue.
Hey, Lenny, if you want to respond, we only got 2 minutes, pal.
Yeah, right. He said you were a fast slob.
Lenny right now is catching up with the time delay.
Lenny ran over to where the feed was being done on the show and got offended seconds later.
You got 2 minutes if you want to say anything to Charles.
No, I will be at the buffet, bro.
Okay. You're buffet, but you're a beat off for saying that. Charles, you got to promise me you'll get laid this weekend because you need to bring some of those stories to the table.
Some more stories.
Are you Chicago's ladies' man yet?
What?
Are you becoming Chicago's ladies' man yet?
No, I don't think so. I don't have an afro.
90 seconds, Charles. I got to go. I got to talk to Katie Rose for my precious 90 seconds because I won't see her.
All right. Peace.
Adios.
All righty.
So how nasty was that chick Chuck hooked up with at the Cougar convention?
I feel a little bit bad for him. Does he realize what he's doing?
Oh, are you guys going to see Pirates with us?
Ask Pirates of the Caribbean.
Wow. No, she's Lenny, she may just be easy. She's like, skip the movie. Let's just go get hammered.
Movie?
Finish the rest of that.
Hey, what if we brought booze to the movie?
Are you talking about tonight?
There you go.
Midnight showing, Pirates.
In honor of...
Yo ho, Pirates life for me.
Bring a bottle of rum.
A bottle of rum and whatever else they sing. We're old? Why are we old?
Old?
Did you just call it old?
Because we know about pirate shanties? Oh, God. All right. One last time.
Lee, real quick, plug your stuff. 15 seconds. Go. I know you got a show.
All right. Doing a show tomorrow. Starts at 9:15, 18 West Morseland in Rogers Park. Morseland.
You got out. I'll talk to you later. Good night. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Are you sure you want this show to end?
Oh, yeah.